Part 1. The Dying Lord. Chapter 1. My son looked tired and angry. He was wet, covered in mud. His hair was like a damp haystack after a good romp, and one of his boots was slashed. The leather was stained black where a blade had pierced his calf. But he was not limping, so I had no need to worry about him, except that he was gaping at me like a moonstruck idiot. "Don't just stare at me, idiot," I told him. "Buy me some ale. Tell the girl you want it from the black barrel. Cedric, it's good to see you."
"And you, Lord?"
Cedric said.
"Father,"
my son said, still gaping. "Who did you think it was?" I asked. "The Holy Ghost?" I made room on the bench. "Sit beside me," I told Cedric, "and tell me some news. Stop gawping," I said to Uhtred. "And have one of the girls bring us some ale from the black barrel."
"Why the black barrel, Lord?"
Cedric asked as he sat. "It's brewed from our barley," I explained. "He keeps it for people he likes." I leaned back against the wall. It hurt to bend forward. It hurt even to sit upright. It hurt to breathe. Everything hurt. Yet it was a marvel that I lived at all. Knut Longsword had near killed me with his blade Ice Spite, and it was small consolation that Serpent Breath had sliced his throat in the same heartbeat that his sword had broken a rib and pierced my lung.
"Christ Jesus,"
Finan had told me, "but the grass was slippery with blood. It looked like a Samhain pig slaughtering, it did." But the slipperiness had been Knut's blood, and Knut was dead and his army destroyed. The Danes had been driven from much of northern Mercia, and the Saxons gave thanks to their nailed god for that deliverance. Some of them doubtless prayed that they would be delivered from me too, but I lived. They were Christians, I am not, though rumours spread that it was a Christian priest who saved my life. Ethelfled had me carried in a cart to her home in Cirencester, and a priest famed as a healer and boneset attended me. Ethelfled said he pushed a reed through my ribs, and a gust of foul air came from the hole. "It blew out," she told me, "and stank like a cesspit."
"That's the evil leaving him,"
the priest had explained, or so she said, and then he plugged the wound with cow dung. The shit formed a crust, and the priest said it would stop the evil getting back inside me. Is that true? I don't know. All I know is that it took weeks of pain, weeks in which I expected to die, and that sometime in the new year I managed to struggle to my feet again. Now, almost 2 months later, I could ride a horse and walk a mile or so, yet I had still not regained my old strength, and Serpent Breath felt heavy in my hand. And the pain was always there, sometimes excruciating, sometimes bearable, and all day, every day, the wound leaked filthy, stinking pus. The Christian sorcerer probably sealed the wound before all the evil left, and sometimes I wondered if he did that on purpose, because the Christians do hate me, or most of them do. They smile and sing their psalms and preach that their creed is all about love, but tell them you believe in a different God and suddenly it's all spittle and spite. So, most days I felt old and feeble and useless, and some days I was not even sure I wanted to live.
"How did you get here, Lord?"
Cedric asked me. "A road, of course, how do you think?" That was not entirely true. It was not far from Cirencester to Gloucester, and I had ridden for some of the journey, but a few miles short of the city, I climbed into a cart and lay on a bed of straw. God, it hurt climbing onto that cart's bed. Then I let myself be carried into the city, and when Erdwulf saw me, I groaned and pretended to be too weak to recognise him. The slick-haired bastard had ridden alongside the cart, telling silky-tongued lies.
"It is sad indeed to see you thus, Lord Uhtred,"
he had said, and what he meant was that it was a joy to see me feeble and maybe dying. "You are an example to us all," he had said, speaking very slow and loud, as if I were an imbecile. I just groaned and said nothing. "We never expected you to come," he went on, "but here you are." The bastard.